Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the Ooze.
Looks like you got four big dicks in the room, so who's gonna fucking slap this shit down first?
Cycle it basically, and then focus on the problem at hand. You're not dealing with the emotion, you're dealing with the issue.
Richard, it's been a big long-winded speech to all patches up today for you gentlemen, but unfortunately I'm somewhat bankrupt.
Now on to our show.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Bicino or TC Downey, and you're listening to the news. Apparently, I am flying solo at the moment. Both of my special guests are, running a little late or something, and my supporting co-host had an emergency move that he had to attend to, so... Yeah, and until something comes up, I'll kind of struggle along and talk to myself a little bit. I'm sure that there's got to be something at least slightly long-winded in me and that I should be able to carry on a conversation with myself for a short period of time. Today's subject matter is actually something that I think is fascinating. Has a lot of pros and cons to it. There's a lot of different ways that you can really look at it, and I think it really comes down to being kind of a common sense thing. So, with all that being said and done, let me check the switchboard. Nope, still no Bourne, no Michael Joaquin. It's fucking Friday, 5 o'clock. And, yeah, you're listening to My Ass Ramble at the moment. So, for those of you that turned out, thanks for tuning in. Check the switchboard again here real quick. No, nothing. All right, let's go ahead and, I guess, get into the topic. Transhumanism. Transhumanism, according to Wikipedia, is an international intellectual and cultural movement. It's a movement that supports the use of science and technology to improve the human existence. Now, what this I believe means and entails is, the idea that we can replace failing organs, rotten tissue, whatever, with a cybernetic implant and therefore extend the life of a person or enrich the quality of their life. If they would have been hindered by a bad set of lungs, they might be able to get a synthetic set of lungs and live a semi-normal life. I think that's kind of an interesting thing here. I don't really know a whole ton about it because I was really kind of leaning on the idea that my two guests that were supposed to be turning up here would have a lot more information on it. I mean, there's been previous conversations, exchanges held between the two in terms of, what it is, what the benefits of it are. I assume that most likely... And the idea is not necessarily to create a Borg existence, but more a cyborg type existence. We've all seen those old movies where they got like the fighters where, they get their bio enhancements and therefore now have some mega strength. Oh, wait a minute. I think we've got Bourne on the line right now. Let me see if I can get him on here. Bourne?
Beast. How you doing?
Hey. I'm doing all right. You made it. I was running out of gas there real quick on this one, man.
No worries. Yeah, traffic.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, I thought Michael Joaquin was also supposed to be here, but he's apparently running a little late, too, so that's not a big deal.
Cool.
First and foremost, I guess I should ask you how the hell you're doing, man.
Good. How was your New Year's? I managed to listen to the archive of Saturday's show, but I wasn't up for the actual show.
Yeah. Well, my New Year's went pretty well. It was interesting, to say the least. Coming into 2011, I'm definitely a little more positive about this year than what last year was. I think there were a bunch of good signs right at the end of the year. I actually work in a retail industry, and so we'll get a real good indication of what the state of the economy is pretty quickly. And I've got to say that our numbers last year, they held pretty consistent with this year's numbers, so there wasn't a big decline. So perhaps the economy is at least stabilizing.
Let's hope so. I'm in the retail industry as well, and yeah, business got pretty good, actually, around this time of year, and we're usually slow. So that's a good indication, too.
Right on.
For sure. For sure. So the topic for today was transhumanism.
Yes, it was. I actually kind of gave a brief description of what transhumanism is. My description just basically being the enhancement of human life using science and technology. Do you have a more precise definition of it?
That pretty much sums it up. I had written a blog on it and quoted a guy named Nick Bostrom, and he defined it as the intellectual and cultural movement that affirms the possibility and desirability of fundamentally improving the human condition through applied reason, especially by using technology to eliminate aging and greatly enhance the human intellectual, physical, and psychological capabilities. So that's that pretty much sums it up as well. And someone who spoke a lot on the subject and still does is an author named Ray Kurzweil. Have you ever heard of him?
Briefly, actually. In my perusing of the Wikipedia page on this subject, I believe he was mentioned a couple of times. I've not actually ever gotten a chance to dig into his work and see what it's really all about, but I mean, the whole thing seems kind of common sense to me, and that meaning that obviously if there is a scientific way to extend or improve the quality of someone's living, then we certainly should act upon it.
Absolutely. Yeah. He made a lot of technological predictions in the past and has made some for the future. Some of the ones that he did in the past was, the fact that people would have personal computers, that biology and science, like human sciences, would eventually merge with technology, which what we're kind of doing now, MRIs and things like this. And he basically speaks of something called the singularity, where the tools of our trade as humankind, which is science, technology, are eventually going to merge with us, ourselves. And that's pretty much what he speculates the human future and condition will be, is a merger between ourselves and our tools.
Right. Well,
that encompasses quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you can see some evidence of this already. I mean, I know people who full-out exist online. If they didn't have their internet connection for even a couple of hours, it could be Whitlam-worthy. As a matter of fact, just previous to actually popping in to do this show, I was, going through my YouTube stuff, and one of the people subscribed to me and had uploaded a video, and this character was actually bashing on another character, and rightly so. But what was really funny about this guy is that this guy has a what do you want to call it, like a complex where he wishes to be a person so much that he emulates the things that this person says and does, no matter how retarded it makes him look. I'm actually, you know, kind of laughing because I'm sitting here trying to be all PC about it when you guys really don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And to be quite honest, I don't give a flying fuck if people agree with my opinion on this or not. But so I guess I'd, with all that being said and done, I will go ahead and break down what I've gathered from the story real quick and, you know, why I think that this is directly applicable to what we're talking about. Apparently, a person named, I've come to know as Satan's Evil Whore on the internet has made some rather peculiar and wacko-sounding videos on which she's kind of accusing somebody of creating an internet hostage situation. And so this other person, which was the maniacal Satanist, the person that I was talking about, went on this like kind of lengthy attempt at some kind of a verbal bitch slapping to her. And in the process, he kind of reveals what I'm talking about here, and that is that he has such a deep connection to the actual internet itself that, you know, his will to be like his hero, which would be Jason King, has led him to do things like, say, at the end of this video, he says, still killing jokers in reverse, which, if anybody knows that, that's the little tagline that Jason King will sometimes finish his form lines in, and then the reason that it's killing jokers in reverse is because that's KJ and he's JK. So.
Right.
But for this guy Maniacal Satanist to be saying it, it makes absolutely no fucking sense at all. So where he was actually, I mean, I'm not going to say that anything he commented on in terms of this other person, Satan's Evil Whore, was wrong, and nothing like that. It's just he's showing his own fallacy of kind of ignorance and isolation and hero worship through the process of trying to make this person look stupid. So I just think it's kind of funny because this is a clear indication, and we actually have a caller coming in now. I think I'm getting better at these numbers, so this might be Warlock Asylum. You mind going ahead and taking this?
Cool.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Beast? How's everything, Mike?
I'm doing all right. This is actually Bourne I have on the air with me.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. I'm good, yeah. I was just calling a listener pretty much, but I had looked at the site. I said, oh, they're working with transhumanism is an interesting topic, you know. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just curious if you had an opinion one way or the other of transhumanism. And, you know, I mean, I personally think that there's a lot of indicative evidence that we are moving towards that. And, you know, that in the future you will see more of what would be a science fiction idea of cyborgism going on.
Yeah. I think it's excellent medium, you know, and I hope it takes off and evolves a little bit longer. I had got a little bit into that. I think there's a lot of people in Satanic Thought that may explore that, but specifically with the TOV outlet, because there was like a lot of people from COS Course blend into that. So they dealt like a lot with just different ideas about some of the theories coming up in the future, like cryopreservation, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a debatable topic, but, you know, some people believe better to take a chance on science than laying in the ground, you know. But in exploring that, what was interesting is I had found out like a lot of information about things that we use today, like, say, for example, atomic energy. and that the theorist was around, like, okay, this nuclear energy is great and all this other sort of thing and stuff like that, but I don't think we're going to find any use for it. This is what they were saying like 10 years before the atom bomb was dropped. You know what I mean? You know, so it's kind of interesting how today that interweaves a lot into our life. You know what I mean? You know, but I just wanted to ask Bourne, like, what aspects did he see on the horizon of some other different aspects of how transhumanism is coming into play?
I would definitely say through medical advancement.
Mm.
That's where you're going to see it the most first.
Mm.
And you're already beginning to see it. They're experimenting with creating goggles right now. It'll eventually move into ocular implants, blind to see. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the inventions you already see, like just I was watching the news the other day and they have like these sympathy stories that they'll do. And they had a chick that basically had a bad heart valve that ran halfway down her body and they created a mechanical piece for it.
Mm.
These are things that are always going to continually advance.
Yeah.
And as far as technology's going now, you really have to consider, you know, as soon as computers hit, the internet hit, things like that, you have to look at how fast technology has grown.
Yeah.
And that's what Kurzweil, who I was mentioning before, that's what he says, is that our technological advances are moving exponentially now. So
yeah.
What seems like science fiction is rather a lot closer than you may think.
Mm. Yeah, it seems like stuff is moving in leaps and bounds. Technology is crazy. You know, it's like so much stuff is coming out right now, it's like it's hard to keep a track of. You know, that's definitely hard to keep track of. But that's good. And medical research, I can kind of, yeah, definitely see that being applied to that foremost, more likely, because I know people, you know, they want to extend their lives as much as they possibly can, you know. And whatever advances they can use scientifically to do that, I think that would be brilliant. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. Yeah, I'm all for that. So, yeah, it's good hearing your thoughts on that. You know, I just wanted to kind of tap into that for like a little bit, you know. What do you see any other areas other than the medical?
Well, from medical, it's obviously going to move forward from there. It's such a broad perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the human endeavor. I mean, and there's so many different fields that you'll find eventually will end up merging into one. And that's genetic research, neurological research, you know, muscular research, everything. The entire field is eventually just going to completely merge because technology will be needed to do so.
Yeah.
And at some point, it's just going to end up being one and the same.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely could see that. Yeah, it seems like it's kind of coming to that place now in a lot of different aspects. You know what I'm saying? Just concerned, like, I guess the accessibility for the people in the public, maybe for some of those things, I guess it would just be people who are, like, into that current, you know, in some aspects until it becomes more and more widespread, you know.
It'll be a trickle effect. I mean, of course, at first, the elite, you know, the rich will be able to afford these things, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what's actually going to perpetuate and keep that research going. They're the ones that are going to be funding all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as time goes on, you know, depending on how things happen politically and, you know, socio-politically, we will be exposed to those advancements little by little.
Yeah.
Until, you know, eventually there's going to be a plateau.
Mm.
Unless we destroy each other first, you know.
Yeah, there's always that possibility.
There's always that possibility as well.
Looming over at that. It's interesting because my lady, she's into Eastern medicine and acupuncture. And I noticed that she's mentioned that there's like a coming merging between the fields of Western science and Eastern science. You know, and also with some of the stuff with transhumanism coming from like a more like a vertical perspective coming into play too, you know. So I can kind of see how all those things can kind of eventually like tie itself into that. But what do you think about like that in retrospect, as far as like things of what we call magic and stuff of that nature? Just wanted to just ask that last one last question. Does that have like a part to play into it, do you think? Or
absolutely, I would. Yeah, I would have to say so.
Mm-hmm.
That's something though that's not ever going to be a mainstream field though, man.
Mm.
As far as the occult goes and things like that, that's going to be a slow trickle upward.
I see. Yeah. Yeah, I see. Yeah, because I kind of always looked at that as technology too. You know, I guess it is technology, but it's just like you said, it's always like kind of like in the shadows lurking.
A different rub to it.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just kind of thinking like maybe if people brought that into play from that perspective of it being actually like scientific, you know what I mean? Like one example, you used to talk about science fiction. I don't want to take up too much of time on this, but I noticed like my son's watching the superhero comic book lore and stuff like that. And I was into it when I was younger, but coming back into it again, I'm, you know, having children and stuff like that, I'm looking at this stuff and I'm like, man, you know, Batman and these other characters are always doing something on the full moon. Like they're always like scientists on one end, and in the day to day life they have something else going on. I said, oh, okay, they're talking about magicians, you know. But I think if people approach that work, occultists approach that work from that perspective as actually science, it may be able to gain some leaps and bounds in that community as well. You know what I mean? You know. So yeah, but that's all I have for today. You know, thanks, Juan. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
no
thanks. Okay, thanks, Beast. You recovered from the New Year's Eve?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I'll catch you later.
All right. Be good, man.
Okay. You too. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Real quick here, Bourne, I wanted to kind of touch on this with you because we were kind of just taking a look at, occultism and it's having some connection here to what we're talking about. One of the things that kind of occurs to me and what might actually be slowing down the progress of transhumanism is the belief that tampering with quote-unquote God's body, you know, is somehow immoral evil. Would you agree with that?
To tamper with the body, it's a funny thing because, you know, you believe as a Satanist that you embrace that inner beast, that part that makes you a man. But, you know, I was actually posed a question, what makes you less of a man? Like, is an amputee any less of a man because he's missing an arm? You know, so you have to lose before you're no longer man, I guess, is
right,
really the question. So from that perspective, there's a lot of ways that can be manipulated within that. As far as occultism and things like that being involved with the process, they really are. There's a lot of, you know, Satanist and Luciferian values that go into, you know, looking at a future perspective of transhumanism. There's nothing Christ-like about it unless you look at building yourself to that actual ascension.
Right. Well, what I was actually kind of wondering was, because what I was noticing is that that would be something that would slow the trend, so to speak, you know. That would be something that would, make it so that maybe we couldn't get as quick of progress. And
I would have to agree. Yeah, I would say that there's a lot of fear there. There's something that seems so unnatural about dumping your consciousness into a created being.
Right.
Right.
I
kind of find that a little creepy myself. But enhancement, as far as enhancement goes, I'm all for it. But for actual transcendence from man to machine, I don't know. you know, for me, but maybe for future generations, they may think differently. But I do think it would slow it down, and I do think it does.
All right, real quick here, because we got Michael Joaquin finally. He's on hold, and we also have the Dead Idea on hold too. So I want to get both these guys up on here real quick. All right, Michael Joaquin, you should be on now.
Can you hear me?
Mikey, how are you?
Hey, Mike.
I just want to first of all apologize for being late, guys. I've had a nightmare trying to get my Skype to work. It just kept booting me out every time I was clicking to talk, and it went a little bit brief. But yeah, I'm here now. Happy days. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm going to try to get the Dead Idea on here, too. So
yeah, cool.
Hang on 1 minute here. Farouk? A lot of buzzing.
Yeah.
Is there an Aussie online?
I'm not too sure what's going on, but I had some real problems. I had some real problems getting in. I'm not sure.
So, other than the fear of physical transcendence, as far as transhumanism goes, you can see how technology's going right now, too.
Is that me? Do it up in here.
Are you guys actually hearing this? Because to me, it's like beep, 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 beep.
Yeah,
I'm just getting feedback, too.
Yeah, I was just getting feedback. I had some real issues, though, with Skype, so I'm not sure if that maybe is his issue. I don't know.
Well, this thing's supposed to be all Skype ready, man. We were actually paying for the big package now for this, so
I don't really
know. I mean, there should be, like, no interference, no difficulty. You guys should be able to click that button, and it comes right on.
Well, it took 15 minutes to get through, so I'm not too sure there. Anyway, moving on, eh? Yes, Paul mentioned about complete immersion into a system being disagreeable. I totally understand, and I totally agree with him. However, I do think it's a contextual argument. For example, if you were, let's say you had a coma, and then your mind was still working, you have a body to go into. Obviously, in that instance, you could choose total immersion into a system. So for me, the whole argument is contextual, but I think it's very important that you have the ability to experience your environment without having to rely on a supportive system. That's kind of like my view on the matter, really.
Okay. Borner, are you still on the line, man?
I am, absolutely. Yeah. Contextual meaning, like what sort of position you are in physically and whether or not it would warrant the transcendence. Is that what you essentially mean?
Yeah, if it was for vanity, then I think that would be kind of, it's putting all your eggs in one basket, you know. But if it's for an actual medical reason, I think full immersion into a supportive system is absolutely viable, you know.
Sure, I would agree.
Like you mentioned with enhancement, I mean, I'm all for that, you know. However, I think there's limits on that as well. I mean, I don't want to live to be 400 years old. You know, but I think if it's a case, you know, it's like, you look at athletes these days, you know, when they take steroids and stuff like that, they want to get to a certain point. I think if it comes like that to the physical body where our environment changes and we have to upgrade our body to survive in that environment, then I think that's also something else that we need to look at as well.
Absolutely. But would you also agree that our environment is becoming more and more immersed and technologically based?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, look at the organization of, for example, wireless internet network and things like that, and mobile phones, cellular phone repeaters and things like that. I mean, technology is literally in the air now everywhere you go. So I totally agree with your point, absolutely, 100%. And I think it's just going to advance and advance. I mean, if you look, for example, in cellular networks, just as an example, they've gone from 2G to 3G. Now we're seeing the introduction of 4G technology, and it's just going to increase and increase and increase. So we need business support. And I think, to be honest with you, there's not going to be very many places, environment-wise, that you can go that aren't going to be completely integrated into technology. And then also you have the economic side as well, so commerce, you know, trading and things like that.
Absolutely. There has to be a direction in it all, though, right? Like, it seems sort of chaotic, you know, the way that technology is advancing. It doesn't seem like they call it the human race, and like, what finish line are we heading towards, kind of thing. And that's the evolution question, right? The way that our tools are moving alongside of us is going to continually push, and that's also going to be theoretical basis, religious basis. You know, it's going to end up challenging people's entire belief systems at some point. So in investigating a lot more into transhumanism, I've seen that there's really the only way that people define with it is like a Luciferian rub to it, like a satanic endeavor, so to speak.
Well, I think, I totally agree with you. The other thing as well is, I think it's going to be a point where it's going to incorporate so heavily into philosophy of what it, I mean, in that society, imagine for a moment, you know, we are in a society which is completely integrated into a system. You know, philosophy could be based about, you know, or at least the question would be asked, what is it to be human? You know, if you remove all the trappings of technology, what's left? And I think you're absolutely right in your assumption that with, you know, too much technology or a certain level of advancement, you know, the human race isn't really going to be a human race at all anymore. And there's a movie that I like to watch in regards to transhumanism, and I watched it again last night. It's called Ghost in the Shell. It's an anime movie, and and it's a real kind of eye opener in regards to where technology is heading, in my opinion, anyway. And I think that the interesting thing is, you have in that movie, you have phenomenal, like a new type of life form being created within this technology, and that's something as well which I find quite interesting. Like with the evolution of the technology, would that then spring into a new sort of creative platform? Would there be like different? Would there be like different levels of different types of intelligence? You know, that are, and standalone complex. Yeah, that was just mentioned in the chat. Would it be that way, you know, that we'd create the system and in a sense the system would start creating kind of self-awareness on its own? And then where, like you said correctly, where is the line between humanity and just technology?
There's a lot of speculation as to, like, the exponential portion of how this is going. You know, it seems like I was saying earlier, it seems like science fiction.
Yeah.
Like, so far away. But the way that it's been described, a lot of people are beginning to agree, you know, next 45 years, by 2050, they're going to have things like, you know, downloaded consciousness.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to be on the experimental end of any of that, but...
I think.
How do you think that they would actually even subsidize such an experiment? I mean, consciousness itself, I mean, as we understand it right now, is primarily just, you know, chemical reaction happening in the glands of your brain. At least the technical end of how it works. You know, what we actually experience, we all know to be completely different, but. I'm just kind of curious. I mean, how would they even successfully experiment with downloading somebody's consciousness?
There's 3 points that I want to make just really briefly. One of them is taking a step backwards before I go forward. And the first is about the timeline, which has been suggested by Bourne. Now, if you look at technology now, I was doing research yesterday into cochlear implants, where... now direct portions of the brain are being integrated technology to give people back their sense of hearing and things like that. So there really is not a huge step forward between giving back a sense to you know, a person and then improving on that sense. So that's one thing. The second thing I wanted to mention as well is the political ramification for owning a sort of system which everyone is plugged into, in a sense. I mean, we look at propaganda now with the media. Essentially, what you could have is a system where thoughts could be put into your mind. So what ramifications does that have for freedom and liberty? And then the third thing that you're talking about, how could a consciousness be downloaded, in a sense, is you have to, you know, we can look at something like there's new technologies being developed where they're taking plants, actual bioorganisms, and trying to find out where the memory is kept within that. So huge, vast amounts of information can be held in a very, very small space. And it really is quite incredible, the fact that we're looking at now engineering bioorganisms for a technological end, you know, an end result. It really is quite incredible.
Right, absolutely. You got a little bit of feedback going there, Mikey, so that's why it's taking me a second to respond to you. I got to kind of let the chirping all move out of my mind and piece together what you said. So, you do bring up some really interesting points to it. The thing that I'm wondering about, again, is, I guess, more relative to the third point you made, again, is how would these experiments even be conducted? Let's say we can isolate that, this section of your brain holds, you know, all of your long-term memory.
Right.
And we've developed this kind of weird electropulse signature, way of reading it and transmitting the information into what would have to be recodified into something that could be used more on an electronic perspective. The question then becomes, how would it be emulated, or how would it become animated or automated? Just to be able to download all of the memory isn't going to be enough to actually perpetuate the act of consciousness itself.
What you're saying is you'd have to have an artificial brain to put it in. Rather than just storing it, you're going to have an artificial brain which it can function through. Is that kind of what you mean?
Right, yeah. I mean, we would have to have something that would... Sorry, I'm hitting the bull as I'm talking to you guys, so I had to pause for a second. We would have to be able to come up with something that would not just complete a numerical sequence. It would have to be something that would be able to decide, which numerical sequence needs to be initiated at that point in time. I mean, all of this kind of reminds me of a reverse Bicentennial Man, if you guys have ever seen that film.
I just dropped a link in chat there, and in that link is an article about, the downloading of consciousness, and there's a portion of it that says, the world's fastest computer, IBM's BlueJeans, can perform 70.72 trillion calculations per second, teraflops, and is accelerating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone who believes in the uniqueness of consciousness or the soul will find Pearson's next suggestion hard to swallow. So they already go on, and we're already looking at how you might structure a computer that could possibly become conscious. There are quite a lot of us who believe that it's entirely feasible. Sorry, I'm trying to read this. We don't know how to do it yet, but we've begun looking in the same directions. For example, at the techniques we think that consciousness is based on, information comes in from the outside world, but also from other parts of your brain, and each part processes it on an internal sensing basis. Consciousness is just another sense, effectively, and that's what we're trying to design in a computer. Not everyone agrees, but it's my conclusion that it's possible to make a conscious computer with superhuman levels of intelligence before 2020. And then he answers, with emotions, it would definitely have emotions. That's one of the primary reasons for doing it. If he's on an airplane, he wants the airplane to be more terrified of crashing. So that way it does everything to stay in the air until it's supposed to be on the ground.
Mm.
It wants to survive, right?
Mm.
So that's essentially what they're working on right now. And if they can create conscious computers, then it's only a matter of time before you could insert something, a binary code or an influence that's downloaded from a wet property like the brain into a software property, because the neurons and the structure will already be there.
I mean, this is a huge topic and a really really in-depth one in terms of thinking outside of the box. And you really have to be able to kind of, you know, put all these years of science fiction movie work into work within your mind to even kind of picture what possibly could happen. I mean, to be honest with you, when I first encountered the blog post that you did, Born, and I started reading about it, you know, to me it seemed as alien of a thought as me having a third arm or you know, an extra pair of testicles or something.
That'd be fun.
Well, it's gotta be designed for use other than Bukkake videos, right?
Right on. Right on. I mean, to me, okay, and the next question that comes to my mind is, you know, what is the motivation in putting what would normally be a negative quality or characteristic, you know, fear in an airplane? So it's afraid that it's going to crash, so therefore, I mean, is it this Sun Tzu ideology that if you back a conscious creature into a corner that it'll come out fighting?
That could be. There was a movie called Stealth quite a while back. I don't know if you remember that at all, where a stealth bomber had artificial intelligence. And there were ramifications with that. It was pretty retarded, but the same idea, right? Like a rebellion of that consciousness. Yeah, that's an interesting thought too, right? Because then you start getting into the Terminator realm. But, I mean, anything would be done. I'm sure we would take, you know, precautions that things like that wouldn't happen. Whether there be blockers that would be set in place until you inserted a different consciousness, something like that, you know. And there's all kinds of movies like that. I, Robot, right? They had the three directives and things like that.
Sorry, go on. I didn't expect it.
Oh, I was just going to say this wraps right back around to what you were saying about what does that really imply in terms of freedom and liberty, you know?
Yeah.
If everybody gets on board this kind of what I would refer to as Borgish scheme of, you know, all of us having a simulated or a shared consciousness just via this you know, computer component that's now, you know, native to our body, you know, that really puts a couple of things in place. I mean, first we become more like a colony of ants, and I can see how that could benefit the human race as a whole. But when you're talking in the spectrum of individualism, it seems to almost kind of squash out the hope that anybody could retain any kind of individual identity.
It would require a complete and utter dedication to free will.
Yeah.
And that would have to be utterly respected, no matter what, throughout any consequences, free will would have to be respected.
The thing is, as well, though, how do you know that a system wouldn't be in place that would then try and squash a human being's impulses to desire free will? Like, how... You know, if the system was set up that, like, you gave the example of the Terminator, brilliant
but
example.
But that system has a designer, though, right?
Right.
I mean,
the thing is, human beings are flawed. If a computer can analyze everything and then say, actually, this system will work better, implicate it without human approval,
I see.
And then the system...
Save us from ourselves.
This is the issue that we have. And then there was just a quick question asked there by Michael Swain. Technological utopia versus George Orwell 84 meets the Matrix. Okay, so first of all, technological utopia for me is the ability to either enter or leave whenever you want at will. So it wouldn't be total immersion into a system, because then how, like I mentioned earlier, how are you going to have free will and liberty? It should be something that you can take advantage of, not something which takes advantage of you. In regards to propaganda, I think the problem that we're going to have is every government, every controlling body always tries to, you know, dull down and control it, its populace. How do we know that a system won't be put in place to restrict your IQ or to restrict certain modes of expression? Like, for example, you have Newspeak in 1984, so people can't physically think of the concept because the word doesn't exist. How do we know that that's not going to be a system which could be introduced? And the final point was about the Matrix being able to guide into a system. Just to totally reiterate what I said, that I think that the system needs to be one that you can access if you want to. The other thing that I was researching in regards to this is that they're developing technology which is it uses sensors which are applied to the skin, the skull, of the brain. And basically what you can do is control a computer just with your mind. Basically, it's like a thought-driven process. So you can sit there and make a little mouse cursor move around the screen just by thinking about it. So how long is it going to be before that kind of thing is just everyday, common purpose? And then before that, if you look at communication, how communication is, you have cellular telephones, okay, so you can call people. Then there was text messaging, now there's Facebook and networking and things like that. Would it not be feasible that the next thing would be to send your thought to somebody else, you know? And then how about if the government are reading your thoughts? You know, this is like, this is a nightmare. It really is a nightmare, but it is inevitable, I think, at some point.
There's the possibility of that nightmare. Absolutely. In studying some of it, when I had said that I had seen that there were some Luciferian interests, a lot of Promethean mythos is starting to touch on transhumanism. They want to move into this realm. And I'm really interested in a lot of the stuff that I've been finding lately. And something that's a little bit of an answer to what you were saying before is something called extropy. And I found this forum. I just dropped a link in the chat there to the principles of extropy.
Mm.
And there's, you know, 7 points to this. And the perpetual progress is the first point. Extropy means seeking more intelligence, wisdom, and effectiveness, an open-ended lifespan, and the removal of political, cultural, biological, and psychological limits to continuing development. Perpetually overcoming constraints on our progress and possibilities as individuals, as organizations, and as a species. Growing in healthy directions without bound. Two, self-transformation. Means affirming continual ethical, intellectual, and physical self-improvement through critical and creative thinking. Perpetual learning, personal responsibility, proactivity, and experimentation. Using technology in the widest sense to seek physiological and neurological augmentation along with emotional and physiological refinement. So I think, you know, that second point really talks about enhancement more than an absolute transcendence. Practical optimism, which means feeling action with positive expectations. Individuals and organizations being tirelessly proactive, adopting a rational, action-based optimism or pro-action in place of the blind faith and stagnant pessimisms. There's a couple more points. I'll let people read them because those are, you know, a couple of really good points there. I mean, as long as there's an ethical standpoint and an actual direction towards transhumanism, or enhancing the physical human condition, I think that there's a lot more that the possibilities are endless. And, you know, something I think we talked about in chat just for a second was, you know, like the possibility of prying open your third eye through technology, things like that, different states of enlightenment. That's where the occult influences come in, things like that. I mean, it's open to so many possibilities right now that if the right people get into it, there's some right possibilities.
The other thing that I was going to mention as well was that if you're looking at an organ like the brain, if you could, in theory, use technology, you know, most people, it's a common fact that we use a very low percentage of our brain. What if we could use technology to remove that barrier and then kind of extend not only our senses, we may even have more senses. We may have, you know, 15 senses that we don't know about, which are just locked away in our brain somewhere. What would happen if we removed that barrier of intelligence? You know, is that something that's just possible through technology, do you think?
I think that's a big what. Could. This is the whole thing. I'm just having trouble even wrapping my mind around it, because it seems like no matter what we do, we could only move towards transhumanism in a percentage fashion. You know? And I guess what I mean by that is that only a certain percentage of our population would be willing to submit themselves to something like that. And so inevitably, I think that it's going to lead to more conflict than it does betterment.
Do you really believe that a population has the decision, you know, over the government? Say the government say you have to do this because it's like a new law that's passed. You have to take an implant. You have to do this. You have to do that. Do you really think people are gonna do that? You know, they're going to say, actually, no, I want to retain my independence and my own, you know, individual, you know, state of being. I mean, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's like one of those things. People are sheep, you know, and they do what they're told. I don't think transhumanism is going to be one that people have to opt into. I think it's something which we're going to be forced upon. Completely. Look at, you know, the best example is how we communicate now. How do people communicate now? Everybody has a cellular phone. Everybody. You know, it's just one of those things. Not because we want to all the time. It's because people have to, because it's just a new element to communication.
It's cleverly integrated, though, isn't it? I mean, Absolutely. It's a necessity now. I need my cell.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody does.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me respond to that.
Mm.
Because I think that your point is right on to an extent. But you can look out in the world right now and find tribes of people in Africa that they don't use anything that's electronic. They don't know what a cell phone is. They're still living out of tents and hunting with spears. You see them on National Geographic all the time. Those are people that willfully chose not to change with the times.
Mm-hmm. They've also been left alone. You look at some points where it's, you know, they've chosen to leave them. At this point, I think a lot of places have chosen to allow them to stay that way. Honestly.
Right. I mean, and the only thing that could happen is that they would, you know, exterminate the people that don't want to take it. I mean, that would be my whole deal is, you know, if everybody is not, you know, going to take it, then they're going to have to kill somebody. You know, that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Right. Do you not think that's maybe something which has been set up in the past, you know, mass extermination of people when they haven't agreed with a plan? Or you look at vaccines as a law, so you can't not take one, and if you do, you have to sign a waiver, and then that's going to affect your health insurance, that's going to affect every other aspect of your life. So it's not pressure, it's like you have to do it. If you don't do it, then you're completely removed from the system. And if you're not a part of the system, you're an enemy of the system. So everything's going to be geared against you. It's like you look at the mark of the beast, you know, no one's going to be able to buy anything, sell anything, buy food, go anywhere unless they receive some sort of mark. I know that this is a wildfire to conspiracy theorists, but in regards to technology, I really think, I mean, if you look at cash, that's a great example, you know, how it's changed from being gold to, you know, paper receipts to, like, cash that we use now, to cars. People use plastic cars. It's technology. You know, commerce is technology-driven. So when that changes, if say, for example, the next step is, as an example, I'm not saying that I believe this, I'm just saying as an example, it's going to be to have an implant in your hand or your wrist, and you have to use that, you know. How many people are going to be like, no, I don't want to? But the only way to access your money is to do it. The system would be designed in such a way that you have to do it. It wouldn't be a choice thing. I don't think it's going to be a point of to having to have a gun put at their head. I mean, it comes to that. But then I think the way that it is and the way it's been designed and the way that it's evolving is just due to a real need to be integrated into that system. It's designed in such a way that you have to integrate with technology just to be functioning within that society. And the other point I was going to make as well about Africa is that you look at the way the world is now in regards to population, I don't think it's going to be long before all those areas, which are, you know, these sparse, like desert-like places, is soon adopted into, you know, new areas for people to set up shop, because there are too many people in the world, so we have to go somewhere.
Well, I don't find any kind of flaw with what you're saying. That's not what I was getting at. What I was getting at is there's always going to be that percentage of people that no matter what kind of enticement you present, you know, if you're not part of this monetary trading system, then, you know, you're not part of the system.
I could see that actually where it's a point. You had mentioned, you know, Aboriginal peoples and Africans. I could see, you know, portions of our own population becoming like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because throughout this financial, like you talk about financial centralization, which turns into political centralization, which becomes, you know, world centralization. If you want to look at that aspect, things are going to be pushed into small urban areas, you know, stuff like that. I could see that, you know, tribes even upheaving from that. But I mean, we're looking at the money as the root of all evil thing, right? And that's that the monetary system takes over and, you know, has a field day with control. There's other aspects in play. The medical aspect of technological advancement is completely a different scope from financial. If financial wants to get involved, there's going to have to be some compensations. Or you know, they're going to have to make some agreements, but that also goes for the medical side as well. So it makes for an interesting mix. Yeah, an integrated society would be a brainwashed society, but there's always going to be those who awaken.
Right.
The problem is, if technology develops in such a way that you're born into the system, then you're not going to be able to rebel, because any sense of you becoming aware that there's a problem can be completely taken away from you. If you don't know there's a problem, how are you ever going to rebel against it? You know, that is really the problem, and that really is the threat to liberty, the threat to freedom. You know, if you're growing up in a system that you think's absolutely normal, everything's fine, and, you know, for example, if it's designed, look at China, for example, you know, everyone needs to work together, you're not an individual, blah, 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 blah. If that's enforced to you 24/7 through a medium of technology, what is going to happen, you know, to the individual will not exist anymore, just will not flat out exist. You'll just be another individual component of the greater machine.
Right on. Real quick here, guys, I just want to let you know, I bumped the show out another half hour, so we got some time to talk about this. We were getting down to the last couple minutes here.
Okay.
So if you guys are good with that, we can kill the show at any point in time, though. So so really up to how much more you guys have to stay on it. I'll be happy to get back on topic, though, I guess is what I'm saying.
Do you think that there's going to be an integrated society, Michael? Do you think that that's going to come to pass, that things are going to end up being a financial reign of evolution over the human condition?
It's a very interesting question. Thank you. Honestly, the way that if you look at the way the financial system works now, it seems to be creeping closer to that with technology. You know, you have things like now you have glided technology. I don't know if you've seen that. So you can have like one of these new credit cards. You don't even need to put in a PIN number. You just slide it past the machine and it takes you money. You know, how long would it be to make that final jump before it's not actually on a card anymore? It's a chip which is in your hand, you know. And then say, for example, you have a problem with the government, for example. Are we going to tax you 50% today because, you know, you've done something ridiculous, which is like speeding 1 mile per hour over what the limit is? you know, it's, the system is already designed for slavery anyway, in a financial sense, in a financial aspect. And I really don't, I really, in regards to do I think it's going to happen, I think it's certainly a possibility, greater so than, you know, for the purpose of technology or enhancement. I think really when these things happen, it's always abused. It's always abused. The technology is always abused for a very few people, for control over the, I mean, look at TV, you know, it's the biggest propaganda problem that we have, you know, and that's technology driven. It's something which emerged as a really good idea, great way to spread information, to change communication, and then it was completely sidelined for any sort of honest intention. And I think we'll get the same thing with technology. It's just a matter of time before it's abused. It's just in what way would it be abused, you know?
That's as long as those who choose to abuse it remain in power, I suppose, right? Or, yeah, you know, those of us and the younger of us.
I think it's human nature, no matter what, to abuse it. I mean, that obviously, you know, man has proven time and time again, and when given a situation in which they can manipulate the circumstances in that situation to benefit them more so than the guy next to them, that they're always going to take that route.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is obviously why I think that, you know, that there's going to be that separation, that percentage separation that happens, because there are people who are going to open their eyes and look and go, hell no, I don't want that in me. That gives them another way to possibly take advantage of
it. Right. Yeah.
But then how long would it be before the mainstream society then demonizes that small percentage of society which reject the idea? You know,
you talk about propaganda. You talk about propaganda and the way that they manipulate society. So you basically feel as though you're integrated into it. If you look at the way things are going right now, you look all around you and there's propaganda. Beyond that propaganda is a hell of a lot of information. And with information is power, and there's ways to fight, you know, and all that seems to be coming out. As long as there continues to be people trying to control, there's going to be people that are going to be fighting back. And it's, you know, pound for pound.
Right. This actually kind of brings me to another interesting point, but Mike, I didn't mean to cut you off, so please go ahead.
No, not from at all. No, it's fine. Go on. Please continue.
All right. One of the other interesting things that I think, I'm personally a big fan of memetics, and I spend a lot of time studying what I call the social organism. That's actually one of the main focuses of one of the books that I'm writing right at the moment. And I think it's fascinating because a conversation that I had with Jason King some time back privately, we were discussing the fact that I believed that there will be a coming consciousness of this social organism, that it will become something other than a subconscious animal, which is what it is right now. Right. You know, that we talk about a thing called social conscience, and that's only in those really soft, tender spots that it happens, you know, like, for instance, the gay marriage would probably be one of the issues that I would call a soft, tender spot in that consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that, I believe, is what creates the PC mentality, is, you know, we've got to do something to compensate for this aspect of our sociology. So it's okay if you do this, but it's not okay if I over here call you on this. What I'm really getting to more than anything, which JK's thing was, that this mass consciousness would occur not amongst man, but occur mechanically on the internet or on a computer. That would be where we saw the birth of a massive consciousness like this.
I would agree with that.
But we're talking in terms of. But when you add this, the idea of transhumanism, then it comes to the thing that we might be both talking about, something that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
The technology evolving is, you know, it's bound to happen. It's one of these things that once it started, it's you know, it just gains momentum. It's something which has proven itself thus far. So why would that not continue? You know, it's just, what avenue is it going to continue down? Is it going to be a positive thing, or is it going to be used for exploitation of the masses, or exploited by some sort of financial system? Or, I mean, it really depends. I mean, and then the other thing about it as well that I wanted to bring up, which I don't know if it's been brought up yet because I can get into Skype, is the fact that there may be, I mean, you talk about computer viruses now. What happens if you could make somebody mentally ill by firing a virus at them through a technological means? You know, you disagree with someone, so you drive them crazy. Or, you know, yeah, you want to, you make them hear voices. Or you,
see,
I mean,
when you start talking about the technological evolutionary standpoint, right, you know, we've covered economic and, you know, political. The technological mass communication, mass information age of it all demands, you know, like, that's all immature bullshit kind of thing, right?
Mm.
Any pieces of that just hinder that point of evolution. And that's really a focus for many as well, right, is to get past that shit and you get down to the, you know, the meat of the project, which is, you know, moving forward, evolution itself.
So when you talk about moving forward and evolution, I'll just make a very quick point. How is that going to impact education? For example, you look in the Matrix movies and they don't know a skill, so they download it. Now, in that kind of society, would anybody need to actually have an education? You know, it's all free and available at a flick of a switch. What would people do? You know, like, what would they do in regards to education?
Right on. All right, guys, we have Dan Dredd on the line, so I'm going to bring him on here. Dan?
Cool.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey. How you doing?
Good. Great show. I've been listening, and there's a couple of things I'd like to chip in. I don't know, I missed a bunch of the show, so I apologize if any of this has been covered. But, okay, here's the thing about transhumanism, right? There wouldn't even really be a word for it if it wasn't such a social taboo. You got to think, like, humans as we are now have only been around for, what, 10,000 years? But yet the general social mores, you know, rooted in Judeo-Christianity, is that humanity is this separate thing, this important thing that shouldn't be altered, you know, placed here by God for all time to sit on top of nature. And it's this very attitude that's stopping transhumanism from moving forward. You know, there's a lot of people that believe that that we are a finished product. You know, and any sort of tampering with that product is an affront to God or affront to nature. And this isn't even just a religious point of view. There's a lot of atheists that have this point of view as well. Yeah, it's a very very interesting subject material.
I actually touched on that a little bit earlier myself, Dan, and said that was something that I felt was holding back the potential progress in transhumanism, you know, that belief that altering God's body was somehow immoral.
Well, I think it's the starting place. It's like the mind, you know, the mind can only develop over time. So why would it develop over time? You know, but in a way that's designed by us, instead of just, as you get older, being more aware of certain things, choosing the books you read, why not have a position where, like, okay, well, I want to run 200 miles an hour. Why the fuck not? Let me buy a pair of new legs and do it. Do you know what I mean? If you want to achieve a certain aim, why not? Why shouldn't you have the right to? I think it's your right to do whatever you want to do with your body, which is why I have the stance on drugs, which I have, which I think all drugs should be legal. But the whole thing about it is you've got the right to do whatever you want to do with your body. So why can't you change it, modify it? I mean, people already modify their body already. Look at piercing, tattoos, scarification, all these kinds of things. Why not do it with a different purpose in mind?
Well, because doing that is messing with God's creation in the minds of many people, right? And that's what it boils down to. It's the same reason you don't see stem cell research getting the funding that it deserves, even though that it's got the potential to cure bucose amounts of problems and diseases. It's an affront to God, affront to nature, right? Where what I think is it's kind of ridiculous, because all this technology that we are manifesting is really just nature manifesting itself through us. It's not unnatural. Right. It's just another level of nature, right, that's coming out through us.
We are a product of nature, so anything that we do, therefore, is an extension of that. No, I totally agree.
Exactly.
Totally. And a great point. I think the other thing as well, which is interesting, speaking briefly on drugs and things like that, if you're increasing your consciousness through through technology, would there then be now a new kind of subculture of people that are trying out new, like you have hackers and people like that? What about people that would try and hack the mind to get different responses and things like that? You know, wouldn't that be like you talk about rebelling and things like that?
Techno occultism would be really interesting as well. Experimenting with technology and the occult. It's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how interesting would that be? You know, I think that's something which should be looked into. It could be a subject all on its own.
Well, truly, if occult means hidden and occult knowledge is hidden knowledge, transhumanism would be the epitome of occultism.
Yeah, absolutely. But then it's also, as well, you're accessing parts of the mind which have not ever been accessed. You know, we're just finding out the tools to do it. This is like the 21st century's sharpening blades to kill things with. You know, we're just doing what we can to move forward. I totally agree with the concept of transhumanism as an expression of nature and our evolution. And also, it may even change the hierarchy of the brain and things like that. So you have to look at the biological responses to that technology. But I think it's something which is completely natural in its origin, but how it can be manipulated is the concern, because obviously human beings, the way that they are, selfish as fuck, which is fine, but then at what cost, you know? It's like a time
thing. Real quick, I'm going to get Zach on here since he's decided to call in and tell him to go kill himself.
That's cool.
Asshole. What's going on, asshole?
What's up, you bunch of assholes? Everybody.
What's going on, Pooh Bar?
Hey. You know what? I was trying to jump in on what Dan was talking about, fetal stem cell research, stuff like that. You know, it's just completely fucking asinine that we have the technology to save lives and to improve humanity in a whole, but we're not going to use it for moral reasons. I mean, that's why I like to kick God on nuts when I see him. If I see him.
Opinions and ideas are going to change sooner or later, though, man. You know, for the ones that are willing and push it forward, push the technology forward, it's just going to—it's an antiquity, and it will continue to recede into the dust, I think.
Well, you know, it's like when it comes to like cloning and stuff like that, right? That's supposed to be like that's allegedly not happening. You know, it's not happening. You know, the government doesn't have the technology to do what they're doing. You know, if they can clone a cow, they can clone a sheep. They can probably clone a person. You know, but it's too taboo. So we're gonna do it in secret. We're gonna have a fucking army of Dandreds.
That's a scary thought. We'd have an army of Dandreds because none of them would want to be organized into a structure.
We'd all just kill each other.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. They wouldn't want to be an army. They'd be like, "Fuck you, I'm better than you," and then they'd end up fighting.
What you guys don't realize is you're actually talking to the 12th version of me. This is my 12th clone. No, I'm just playing.
I'm glad you haven't genetically receded yet, then.
You know, that would be awesome, because think if there was ever a problem and, like, say, one of the sexes became permanently, you know, sterile, well, you could just make mini-me's of yourself. That would be awesome, you know.
I'd
probably
think
kill
I'd
my mini-me,
that,
but whatever.
Might as well,
I don't know how awesome that would be, man. I can barely stand being around others who think similar to me. I can't imagine being around myself. I think someone's going to die. That's what I
think. I was going to say, I don't think it would be very fair on the world to like start putting more versions of me in there. You know, I don't know how much. From an ethical standpoint, I don't think I would agree with it.
I'd fake my own death and collect the insurance money.
Exactly.
It's difficult, man. If I had my own mini-me, we would just sit around and get drunk all day and fucking make asses of ourselves in tiny chat. So nothing would get done. He could drink the little tiny, like single little tiny wine bottles, and I drink the big one because he'll be really tiny, you know.
Little Cristal labels.
What about as well the it's interesting you say that about like a version of you. What about if, say for example, I mean there's some fathers in the room, people have had kids, I've never had children, I don't think I would, but if the option came up to modify your child technologically to give them an edge in society, would you do it? Like for example, if you knew, there's a really interesting, I used to watch a TV series called The Outer Limits.
No.
And they had a fantastic an episode about modifying their children, and basically it was like one out of every 100 gets those mental, crazy, bad reaction. But the ones that it succeeded in, they were the leaders in society. They were intelligent, they were stronger, they were better. I mean, would you do that to your child, even if there was a slight risk that it would go wrong?
I think the problem comes down to what I was saying before, that there's this major obstacle where most people believe that humans are sacred and that messing with that in any way is an affront. You know, and if we can get over that, the view that human life as it is now is somehow a finished, sanctified product, technology would definitely have a clearer run at, getting ahead, going further ahead. Until that day comes, though, we're going to be stuck behind this wall. It's really a matter of destroying the bullshit morality rather than the technology itself, which is already there.
Well, they need, you know, that's kind of what we're doing as Satanists, too, is slowly chipping away at that fucking, the moral armor, you know? I mean, we're not really, I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime. It may be several more generations, but I think it's going to happen where hopefully one day the stupid ass restrictions of morality, Christian morality and stuff like that will just be a thing of the past. I'd like to see Jesus turn into Santa and just be a fairy tale.
I would like to see a new book of ethics being written up and morals. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a new book of ethics and morals for the 21st century. That's what I would like.
You know what would be cool? I think we should have a news episode of about aliens and extraterrestrials and that type of stuff. Just want to throw that out there where everybody's on the phone together at once.
We certainly could if somebody's got a good angle to explore it from. I don't want to, you know, go from the ground up and looking at it. It's the normal, are we alone, you know, kind of thing. I think that's boring as shit, and people have done it too many times. But if we want to, you know, discuss something like, the potential ways that you could be raped by an alien during abduction, I'm down with that.
Everybody knows me. I wouldn't mind being probed.
No, I'd call him back.
I'd tell the story, yeah. It wouldn't bother me. If an alien wanted to fuck me, I wouldn't have a problem with it. As long as I could tell the story, it wouldn't bother me.
You know, the funny thing about the anal probes, right, is like, you gotta wonder, are aliens gonna travel vast distances of space to come down here and stick a fucking dildo up some redneck's ass? I doubt it.
I think they
let me ask you.
That's it. They stayed over their cousin's house. And then they don't want to fucking tell the truth. They just make up some ridiculous story.
Too much moonshine behind daddy's shed.
Let me tell you guys something. If I was an alien and I was going to fly down to a planet and abduct people just to fuck them with alien probes and stuff, it would be the dumber population, like the rednecks and stuff, because nobody's going to believe the shit that's coming out of their mouth.
That's a good point. I think if you were to do that show on unexplained phenomenon in general, not just aliens, but unexplained phenomenon, and maybe, you know, explore the ways how you could bring that into the light and turn these unexplained phenomenons from superstitions into, you know, scientifically explorable concepts, that would make for quite an interesting discussion.
Yeah,
all right, so this is a Dan Dredd show then? I can expect you'll be one of the guests on the show?
If you do it, I'll call in.
Of course you'll call it down. Fucking hell, brilliant. I'd love to hear that, actually. That would be good. I'd love to hear that. That'd be interesting.
Well, with aliens, guys, I've actually had a real experience, and I'm not going to go into great detail because I know it's the topic of the show, but I think the biggest UFO sighting in the United States ever, the Phoenix Lights in 1990. 7. So, and that was no fucking flares. It was a giant mile-wide boomerang is what it was. I saw it with my own eyes.
Hallucination.
And they made me believe it.
Government testing.
I just want to actually make two statements then. My first statement is I don't see how extraterrestrial life or the presence of aliens isn't directly created with connected with the discussion of transhumanism, because obviously as we're moving forward in technology, we're coming to realize that this is just way too big of a dimension of space for us to occupy it solely. So, you know, obviously as we're moving towards more technically advanced states of living, we're going to interact, you know, at some point with something outside of ourselves. I mean, if you get a man that can move at 200 miles an hour, as was suggested by Mikey earlier, then, you know, the potential for a ship that travels, you know, 10, 20 times the speed of light is just as likely.
The thing is, as well, if you're looking at this from a transhumanism point of view, if you were born into a system which is a self-made environment, anything outside of that would be space. If you can create your own universe on a technological platform, really the whole idea of looking into space would have a completely different meaning. It would just be looking at anything outside of that system.
Well, you know, and if you guys remember, like, I don't know, I'm just throwing these numbers out there like in a rough space, and I'll, you know, have my historical evidence to support it, but, you know, 1,000 years ago, say, we thought that the world, or everything revolved around the world, around the Earth. You know, then 500 years ago or so, we thought the world was flat, right? Mm-hmm. We knew it. We knew it for fact. And then here we are, our development is growing at such an exponential rate now, where it's like, what, a couple hundred years ago, we didn't have electricity, and now we got the Internet, now we have the ability to mass communicate. I mean, how far along are we going to be advanced in, say, another 1,000 years? It could be huge.
I don't think humanity will be here.
It's going to be fucking huge, man, and a lot of it's going to be it's all going to be technology-based, because now that we have the power, like E-Man says, you know, I think we're going to take off, because we're assholes.
Not even that far, Zach. You got to remember that it snowballs. Like what it took them like 1,000 years to learn, you know, thousands of years ago, it took 100 years and then 10 years. Like what we have 10 years ago compared to now is like 1,000 years worth of technology 100 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So
definitely.
The more technology we have, the more ability we have to have more. So you know, the further we go, the faster it goes. I say within 50 years we'll have shit that we can't even comprehend right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I agree, man. I totally agree.
I hope they develop the nanotechnology, man, soon, so that we can come and rebuild my liver before I die.
You're gonna need it, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you'll see in the near future.
Yeah, for the wealthy. So put some buttons, put some money in my donations, guys.
It's going to go down just like everything else has. It'll be really expensive at first, but you know, once we've perfected the process of mass producing whatever it is, it'll become economically affordable for people of lesser stature.
There was once a time that the television was seen in that way. You know, only the rich could ever afford it. It'll never catch on. Now they're cheap and freely available. Right. Same with iPod. Same with nanotechnology, one day.
Look at laptops and stuff like that. I mean, there's a cellular phone that you can buy in the UK. It costs $3. You know, it's like, shit's ridiculous.
Right on. Now, something else. I know I said earlier that I had a second point. I wanted to kind of correct Mikey here, because the mark of the beast is already known. It's raised skin in the shape of my hand. That's the mark of the beast.
What you're talking about is the RFID chip.
What's that?
Are you referencing the RFID chip?
Yeah. No, I was making a joke about a handprint.
Oh, yeah. Aha.
It didn't come out as funny as that. It's just anytime anybody uses the term, you know, beast, I generally tend to do a self-identification at that point.
That's fair enough.
so we have roughly, I don't know, 5 minutes left in the show. I believe Zach's fallen off, and that's all right because he's moving or whatever. At this point, I think he's just, you know, trolling, but that's all good there, too. What I wanted to say is thank you guys for your contributions to this subject. I don't really see there's a need to extend it. I mean, we could talk for hours and on end about this and really never come to any solid conclusions because I think we're just not far along enough to really speculate one way or the other.
Agreed.
I think it's completely fascinating, though, and what's even more fascinating is people like Bourne and myself, we've been experimenting with you know, the use of sound and ritual and things that are, I think, going to add a technological aspect to an old school alchemy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. I'm just agreeing with you. It's been fun. And actually, now that I've got things up and running again and I'm at par, I'm going to start experimenting again. So I'll be in touch.
Right. I've begun developing a process of meditative induction by frequency, and I'd be interested to actually compare some notes there, but you know, it's not too far out, I don't think, to be able to shift consciousness with the push of a button, so to speak.
Can I just interject really, really quickly, if that's okay?
Sure.
I've been doing something similar in regards to meditation around the 528 hertz frequency. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, that's something that I've been working with now for a couple of months. And I wouldn't mind having a private discussion with anybody on here about that. But I didn't even realize you guys were doing the same shit as well, which is pretty interesting. It's kind of funny how the synchronicity works out, you know.
Right on. Was that Dan?
I don't know, but it was beautiful. It might have been Venus Satanus.
Nothing was flagged, guys, so I think we're safe.
Yeah, exactly. I said her name, I might get a DMCA. That means it. I sounded like a cyborg because I am a cyborg. Just started missing that.
Anyhow, if you guys have anything you want to plug right now, it'd be a good time. We've got a couple minutes left.
Got anything going, Mike? I don't know.
Me? I'm working on an organization, but that's kind of like a UK-based one, so I don't really want to go into that too much detail. The other thing as well is I'm going to be selling some graffiti stencils and shit like that. So if anybody's interested in spraying some shit around their town or their area, drop me an email and I can send you some of that. Apart from that, I'm just it's just interesting though that you're doing the research into sound because it's something I've been looking into for a little while now. So yeah, I think maybe we could do a little show discussion, have a chat or something about that. You know, that'd be really interesting.
Well, for me, I actually put out a blog a little while back about some of the experiments I was doing with sound and ritual, and that blog's over on my site, The Mendes Collection.
Uh-huh.
And just The Mendes Collection, or the go to Mendes.com, just type that in, and go into the blogs, and it's in there.
I read that about taking a symbol and turning it into a frequency. Is that the blog that you
were
talking about? Yeah, that was a really interesting blog. I read that probably about 6 times. It was very, very interesting. And I downloaded that software myself. I just haven't utilized it yet. But that's something that I'm more than willing to look into. At the moment, I'm just trying to, for me personally, what I'm trying to do is achieve different states with sounds. Like Beast said, you know, like a push of a button, what kind of, not trance, but what kind of state of consciousness can you kind of enter into? So I'm just messing around with different frequencies at the moment. I've been doing that for a little while, but there you go.
Cool. Right. Well, I would actually point you to the Pat Green's work because they did do an actual quite a bit of legwork for us in this field, and then there are actually people exploring this already besides besides just us. I mean, in a more scientific term, I recently read an article, and with 60 seconds left, I'm kind of pressed to find it real quick in my links to post it in the chat room, but if I can, I will. This article, actually, they're discussing transferring frequency of color in video games to different states of consciousness, but no, I can't seem to, I can't find it in my bookmarks right at the moment. Anyway, just a few seconds left. I hope everybody joins me tomorrow. I haven't really picked the topic yet, but I will be hopefully coming up with something good. And thank you guys again for coming out and giving us a good solid hour and a half.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Now, with all that being said and done, we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one, guys.
Have a good one. Take care.